Welcome back to Dave's Gone By. I'm happy to have another theater guest, two of them actually. One is probably best known as the lyricist and co-author of the 1992 off-Broadway musical Weird Romance with composer Alan Menken. He's also collaborated with librettist Rob Barron on music and lyrics for The Phantom of the Opera and Les Miserables. No, not the Broadway versions, but special versions for young audiences produced by TheaterWorks USA. His latest project is called The Fabulist, a collaboration with librettist Stephen Witkin. By the way, I didn't mention that the first guy's name is David Spencer, but Stephen wrote the book for the off-Broadway musical Prom Queens Unchained and for a Broadway show, which I actually saw, called Candles, Snow, and Mistletoe, which starred the three and only Sharon, Lois, and Bram. Now, currently, David Spencer and Stephen Witkin are having workshop readings of The Fabulist. That means the show's been written, the book is finished, all the songs are done. Although they might revise the show a bit later, but at least they have a working draft. And there's some money and interest behind it. Not people who are investing millions of dollars to put it on Broadway so quick, but industry putting in a little money, time, and effort to see if it's good. There were some private readings of The Fabulist, and then Spencer and Witkin received the 2002 Richard Rodgers Development Award for the show. Now, that award funds a series of staged readings, which means there's no sets and costumes. It might just be a musician or two rather than a whole orchestra. But professional actors read the whole script, sing the songs, act the parts, and everyone begins to get a sense of what kind of show it is and if it has a future. And if the writers are lucky, some big-money producers come to the readings. If they like it, the show gets a big boost into the world. Because producers and artistic directors are the folks who can say, aha, I want to bring this to off-Broadway, or I want to try this out in a regional theater, and then maybe a Broadway house, or tour this around the country for a year, or publish it and make it available to high schools, whatever the scenario. That's where The Fabulist is now. And the Richard Rodgers Development readings are happening this week, February 4th, 6th, and 7th, at the CityCorps building on East 54th Street. Rehearsals are happening as we speak, so thank you, David and Stephen, for taking a few minutes to join us by phone from the rehearsal hall. How's it going?
It's going fine. It's going fine. Very excited. We have a terrific cast. We have...
Now, this is who talking? This is...
Spencer.
David Spencer talking. Okay.
We have... The Fabulist is an epic fable, epic fantasy fable about Aesop. And in the title role, we have Daniel Marcus, who's currently playing Officer Barrel in Urinetown. We have somebody I work with at TheaterWorks a lot named Elizabeth Cherry, who's playing the female lead. We have
Joel Higgins,
playing King Nebuchadnezzar. So we have quite a cast. Rob Gallagher, who was one of the Broadway Javerts, playing a mercenary warrior who becomes Aesop's best friend. So it's a very, very exciting and eclectic group of people.
Yeah, actually, I should have probably even mentioned what the show is basically about. You mentioned Aesop. Is it basically the story of his fables or of his life, or how does that all work out?
Well, it's based on a novel by a fellow named John Vornholt, who is a science fiction and fantasy author, and the majority of John's canon is books based on franchises. He's done a lot of Star Trek novels and a couple of Babylon 5s and various others like that. But The Fabulist is one of the few that is totally original, and it is a sort of a retelling of the story of Aesop's life as an epic fantasy quest, and it's a wonderful book. It was a paperback original, and
nobody knows much about Aesop. All they know are his fables, and that's why the book is so special. He took what little people knew about Aesop, that he existed as a Greek hunchbacked slave who tried to get his freedom, and built this fantasy out of it. And his fables are incorporated into the story, so it's not like it's just a whole evening of fables or anything like that.
Yeah, one of the things that was very exciting about the book is that it's not an anthology with a framework. It's actually the story of him. Excuse me. And it's about how he uses his fables as currency to, seek his goal, which is to find his fate as a free man on the island of Delphi, which is a prophecy he receives earlier in the show.
And it's a great theatrical challenge for us, too, because it's an epic journey in which he goes to Babylon and he goes into the underworld and to these various kings and on sailing ships. So there's a great theatrical adventure that engages our imagination, and it's quite a challenge on how to do it, too.
And one of the things that we discovered in doing our trial reading in the summer was that for all of the epicness, it actually tells a fairly up-close, personal, and intimate story. So it's a very nice balance. It gets the audience very involved, and it's funny, and it's touching. And it's not like anything I've ever seen before, which is exciting.
Let me ask, whose idea was it to develop this material? Do you both sort of want to collaborate on something, and then you both went looking around for a thing to do?
It actually, it's a very interesting question, because the person whose idea it was originally was the novelist, in the sense that he initially conceived it as a musical. And Stephen and I met at the BMI workshop, and John himself had begun working on a version of The Fabulist, very different from what became the novel. But he started working on it in the BMI workshop himself, in the California branch, while Lehman Engel was still alive. So
Lehman Engel being the founder of that workshop for writers that they talked about in, what was the show about Clay Van, A Class Act, if people are familiar with that.
And actually that happened before we even knew about the book. And then the chronology is, I just went to the science fiction shop to browse while it was still around, on 7th Avenue, I think. And I saw the book, and it had been published about 6 months before, and I vaguely remembered having read about the book, but didn't remember what it was about. And I took it off the shelf, and I sort of took a look at it, and it was one of those moments where you know that something in your life has changed, because I just knew that, you know, it was going to become a part of, you know, my resume, as it were.
Now, how do you guys work together? First of all, it's the old question of words or music and words first,
structure.
Or... book first?
The structure is first, always.
Yeah, we've pretty well worked into a formula that works for the two of us. We talk at great length, and then we agree on the structure and what we call beating out a scene. Not even thinking of it as a musical yet, but just as the structure. Do the beats, and then I will take it away and write a scene based on the beats that we agreed with. Then I hand David the scene, and he finds the song, or what to musicalize.
Yeah, and we'll go through several steps, and we'll back and forth on it, but always it's always the spine of the thing that leads the way. I can only think of, there's only one song in the score I can think of where the song actually solved the structural problem. And that song is called Being Remembered, which is what King Nebuchadnezzar sings to Aesop about what he most wants in life, which is actually to be remembered after he's gone. He wants to leave his legacy. And we spent a long time not quite knowing, theatrically speaking, who Nebuchadnezzar was and how he was going to function in our story. And we went through a couple of drafts where he was kind of like the swarthy, mustache-twirling baddie like you've seen in a thousand, movies with Arabs and turbans and things. and it just wasn't working, and it was sort of making both of us very tired every time we would talk about it. And so I just sort of sat down with my graph pad and started to sketch things, and I asked myself, musical theater 101, okay, what does this guy really want? Oh, he wants to build the obelisk. He wants to be remembered. He's Donald Trump. And as soon as I knew he was Donald Trump, it sort of defined him as a song and dance man, and as a movie. And then I called Stephen up, and I said, what about this? And he goes, well, that works for me. And then it was like the floodgates opened. But that is the only time where... that's somebody at the front theater. That's the only time where the structure didn't lead the way.
Okay, guys, I've got to cut you off here. I'm sorry.
I'll be right back.
Actually, I've got to cut you off here, but I want to remind people that the readings are February 4th, 6th, and 7th. Reservation number is 212-935-5820.